Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, a spiritual relationship healing expert helping men and women heal their bodies, their relationships, and their lives through love. Author of the book, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com, and creator of My Complete Relationship System. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Barbara Hales, a physician who wears many hats. In addition to working as a physician, Barbara Hales went on to become a liaison between the Board of Health and the physicians in the community, both office and hospital-based. She then became certified with NAPSR's Pharmacology and Pharmaceutical Sales. Concurrently, Dr. Barbara was an independent distributor for Wellness International, a nutritional supplement company. She says, quote, "Working in the health field as a physician was gratifying, but why stop there?" unquote. Instead of discussing health with one person at a time, she has become a successful copywriter because copywriting and white paper authorship give her the opportunity to inform the whole public at large of health issues, things they should do and those they should maybe avoid, as well as sharing the excitement of new product launches. So I am really excited to be speaking with Dr. Barbara Hales. Welcome, Dr. Barbara.
Thank you, Dr. Erica, for having me on your show. Healthcare has become such a hot button since Obamacare was passed. We are at a crossroad in our approach to treatments in healthcare reform, and people need to know the new acronyms that are springing up almost daily, it seems, and what their options are to maintain their health.
So before I ask you, since you started talking, before I ask you about your background, what do you mean by acronyms?
Well, in acronyms, we have letters that represent words when put together represent a particular entity. For instance, PHR, which is something that we're going to be talking about at length today, stands for Personal Health Records.
Okay, thank you. So let's start, before you get into some of the concepts and information that's really helpful for people, just tell something about your own background and training and experience and what led you to writing. I think you wrote more than one book, and just tell us about it.
The reason why I wrote the book is because I see that people are floundering. You know, doctors, especially in some regions, are becoming more scarce, and the emphasis on the role that doctors are playing are in a major transition now as well. There's also an issue of trust that is being eroded between the regular population and the medical community. So I wanted to give a book of information where people could take responsibility for their own health, where they could become their own advocates, develop their own medical team that they're head of, and then just speak to the physicians and other healthcare providers who will then translate for them what they've read and how appropriate it is for them, as well as what is accurate in their readings and what is not. So you have to remember that anybody could post anything on the internet. Just because you read it, it doesn't make it true. So you still need to have an experienced, educated professional who could take a look at the information with you, explain it, and then also explain according to past experience and past educational background whether not only it's appropriate for you or whether it is, you know, in fact true, or whether it's just, you know, hype to promote a product that the person is writing about, or the writer may have a hidden agenda that you don't know about. So you can't eliminate, you know, the professional completely, but it's going to become more important as time goes on that you take a more active role in searching things out, finding out information, and coordinating everything to help yourself. You know, the problem is that people go from one doctor to another when they have complex issues, and there's not one person who is a captain of the team and coordinating it. So it's going to really be incumbent upon us as patients to coordinate care. However, they may
it's
not
really
know
true
where to go to get the best
care.
We
don't seem to have one primary care physician particularly anymore. I certainly
no,
don't.
No, and
know,
that's a problem.
Yeah, you go to each
because
doctor they, for each
you know,
problem.
Patients are being caught in the middle.
Mm-hmm. So how did you go from being a medical doctor to becoming an advocate for so much more?
Well, because as a physician, I've had exposure to, like, a lot of people who have expressed their frustration to me about care in general and, you know, where to go from here. They have symptoms that are not completely diagnosed, and, you know, they need to sit down with one person who is going to take the, you know, entries from the various doctors and look at the lab tests and look at the x-rays and say, this is your list of possibilities and, you know, where to go from there.
It's true. And also a doctor who listens to the patient about the patient's lifestyle. You know, several people could have the same diagnosis, but they have a different lifestyle. One's more active than the other. That could make a difference.
Oh, absolutely. It plays a large role in exercising the various options that are going to be specific to you.
Mm-hmm. So what are PHR or personal health records? Like what should be
personal
stored
health
and
records.
Where should it
be? Well, personal health records are, you know, things that just have popped up in, you know, just the not too distant past. It is a very new concept, and most people have never even heard of them or don't understand what they are. Personal health records, or PHRs, are a collection of your various medical records and other health information. Nowadays, we've often seen a wide variety of doctors and specialists throughout our lives, all of whom have given us different tests and treatments, jotted down observations, and noted different aspects of our health. When you go for treatment, that doctor may not have access to all the information that has preceded this visit. See, Dr. Erica, PHRs are powerful tools in empowering the patient. A PHR can get you immediate and proper care. It can save you money and time because routine tests won't have to be repeated. It gives both you and your various healthcare providers more insight into your personalized health, and allows a whole team of providers to coordinate your care. Let's take a moment about what it would be some good things to put in a health record. Things that
now,
you would
when you
want
say
to
a
put,
health record, where is this? Is this online? Is this in a doctor's
well,
office?
Well, the thing is there are many places that you can put the record. There are several sites that we'll talk about shortly, or you could even put it on your own computer. Mm-hmm. And then download it into a flash drive, which you can wear around your wrist the way the medical alert bracelets have been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
If you have such a bracelet on that has all of your information, then it has the bracelets now by the clasp. You open them up, and it has a USB port so that it could be placed into a computer. That way, if you were, for instance, to be unconscious and an EMT were to be called to tend to you, seeing that bracelet, he would be able to take it and put the USB port into his own ambulance computer, knowing instantly vital information about you that he would need to know. For instance, whether you had a heart problem, what drugs are you on, what allergies you have, things that people who are tending you in emergencies really need to know to take care of you properly secondly, not to hurt you. So this is crucial information that people, you know, should have access to. But the problem is, if you're unconscious, you can't convey that information. So having it accessible to those that will take care of you in an emergency is really essential.
It's really exciting. It's like really being in the 21st century. And I also,
exactly.
I kind of wonder, is there a problem, though? Because you have your records out there, anyone can look at it and they can do something harmful. What dangers do you see in that, if any?
Well, the thing is, in terms of security, let's take a look at this for a moment. Special permission or passwords let you choose who can access your PHR so others can get your critical information quickly. When you use a PHR, make sure it's on a secure website. With this, you usually have to create a unique user ID and password, and the information you type is encrypted, meaning that it is put into code so other people can't read it. Since
mm-hmm.
the record is not stored by your name or your social security number, it's much less likely that a hacker will be able to associate the information with you. Erica, let's compare this with the security or privacy of paper records that you've had in a doctor's office in the past. Not only the physician and the nurse have access to it, information is available to any number of staff members in the doctor's office, including those people hired to file the charts or retrieve the charts. Then, too, information that was sent by fax to another referred doctor's office allowed that whole staff to view your records as well. So it seems that the electronic PHRs are actually more secure than the past paper ones.
It's just so interesting. This is a whole new concept, a new area for many of us.
Well, if you remember when ATMs first came out and computer banking came out, people were very leery about this, and a lot of people avoided it. But now it's really entered into the fabric of our life.
I agree. Most of us are resistant to change, and any kind of technology is a little bit scary until you do it and use it. So,
you know, but
okay, go ahead.
The thing that I want to point out is that if you're still worried about the security of the records, you can always just place the information onto only your computer, which, you know, is not accessible to anybody else, and then just download the information safely onto a flash drive for access, you know, for emergency personnel only. You know, there's actually a company now, as a matter of fact, called MD Alert that has what looks like the allergy bracelets or the old ID bracelets that we used to wear when we were teenagers. Remember them?
Yes.
But at the side clasp, the bracelet opened to reveal the USB port, and then only the people that you want to have access to can have that because, after all, you are wearing it.
No, it's very interesting. So If I would decide to store my information on a personal health record, how do you decide what to do, which would be best?
Well, there are certain key bits of information that you would want to have in your record. The first thing that you would want to put in is a problem list. That's a summary of your most significant illnesses, operations, and the dates of them. You'd want to have your family health history and a list of allergies. Of course, you'd also want the list of drugs you're taking, past lab reports, and x-rays. There are many more bits of information. If you'd like to have the complete list, you can go to my book, Power to the Patient, The Medical Strategist, which you can find on my website, www.themedicalstrategist.com. There we have an entire list, checklist, of things that you could put out and an explanation of each so that you don't forget any important bits.
That really sounds good. So just repeat that website again.
www.themedical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L, strategist, strategist.com.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so I have another question. First of all, some people don't even know how to do this, but how does downloading a health application and entering the data, I guess, into your computer or maybe even into your cell phone, if you have a smartphone, how does this work to improve my health or an individual's health?
Wow, what a great question. There has been an explosion of new apps. It seems that every day you read about a whole slew of new ones hitting the scene, and they're all great. Now, depending on the app you have, you can go to a restaurant and the app will count the calories of each meal or modify the meal based on your intake for the day. It will keep track of your distance when you walk or the calories burned when you exercise. There are apps that will formulate charts and predict when your migraines or pain will flare up during the day, so you only have to take your pain medication when it's needed, not instead of having to take it around the clock. They have a tool for determining what exposures to environmental chemicals are dangerous for you and your family. There's even a web vet application.
A web what?
Vet application for your dogs and cats.
Oh, wow. It's so interesting. But some of us, and baby boomers especially, are not so computer savvy. But as we learn this, and I think this is going to become more and more common, just as cell phones became more common, and, you know, it just keeps getting more comfortable to use these things.
Well, what I would like to let your listeners know, Erica, is that for those people that are interested in having a PHR, but they are not computer savvy, there are sites that have people, like in call centers, listening to what you have to say and typing it up and putting it out there onto your personalized record without you identifying your name or, you know, any way of recognizing you personally. And this is all done for free. One of the places that I'm referring to is put out by Microsoft, and they do not charge patients at all for making the record or for storing the record or retrieving the record. Instead, Microsoft donates it as a goodwill gesture and just has it financed from, you know, advertisements or, you know, sponsors. But the name of the site on Microsoft is called the Health Vault, H-E-A-L-T-H, Vault, capital V-A-U-L-T, as one word. And if you go into healthvault.com, they will give you more specific information.
Wow, that's really interesting. I'm pretty sure most people have never heard of this.
I think it will become more well known.
So, getting off that topic exactly, what steps do you recommend that we implement now to take charge of our health at any age, but particularly as we're getting older?
This is a tough question because, you know, it's so broad. but it's one that many people ask, and it can be quite extensive, running the gamut between which physicians have you researched to take care of you to the other end of the spectrum where you're now running your own medical team. You're in charge of your show and add the specialist to complement your overall health care. The thing is, Erica, now we have so many more choices than we used to have, especially if you think outside the box. Now we have a much greater access to complementary care, holistic medicine, alternative therapies, and availability of current health studies. This is a really exciting time because now we can think outside the box. It's no longer just a doctor dictating to you about a particular medication. Now we could go and do Pilates and Tai Chi and yoga and certain supplements that that have been shown to help us, even things like the vegetables and fruits that have been shown to boost our immunity. There's so much out there. It's like a dizzying array, a smorgasbord that we could choose which ones that we like best.
And it's so true, but I can tell you that I just recently, I was playing tennis this past Thursday, and I twisted my ankle and I heard a loud crack. And
ooh.
I was really happy to have already gone to the podiatrist that I knew and trusted for a different reason, but I knew him. So he was part of my team, and he was available. I went to him, so I knew that I got the proper treatment right away. Whereas if I had had to go to an emergency room, I don't know what would have happened. So,
well, that's the thing, you know, and, you know, you were so sensible. The thing that we should keep in mind is that we really need to formulate our team while we're still healthy so that when we develop a problem or a problem arises, we know just who to go to, that it's not something that we need to research or scramble for in a panic.
Well, I've also had a tendency to not go to the doctor, not check it out when something happens. You know, you sprain something and you say, oh, it's going to heal. But it is a good idea to go and also to establish those relationships. So
absolutely.
If there is some kind of emergency, you know a few doctors that you can go to and they can recommend somebody that they trust
absolutely.
For you to go to.
Another thing I would like to throw in at this point from what you're saying is, you know, it's so important for everyone to have an advocate for them. An advocate is somebody that's on your side that will you know, listen to what you have to say and listen to what others have to say to you. Don't forget, when somebody like a doctor says sends some bad news your way, you know, you're going to miss every third word that's said to you because you're going to be in such a panic. If you have an advocate with you, that person will be able to ask sensible questions or will be able to review with you when you go home what was said and what steps need to be taken. But the advocate can be a friend, it could be a family member, but it should be somebody that you trust and somebody also that you have expressed your thoughts and feelings about what you'd like for your continued care, so that nobody has to make that decision or that you would have to make that decision when you are in a compromised state. So while everyone is healthy, please, I implore you, find your designated, you know, person. Tap them on the shoulder and say, you're it. And ask them if it's okay with them. But everyone should have an advocate.
That's really powerful. Because, I mean, I've studied a lot of online building a business, and they always recommend having a team, have a strong team, and you don't think of having a team for your own health and an advocate for you. So I have a question to ask, because next week I'm going to be speaking to a nurse practitioner, so I would like you to explain what's the difference between nurse practitioners and doctors, and when should you see either one?
A lot of people are confused about it. A nurse a nurse practitioner can enter a room and introduce herself as doctor because she has a PhD, and because it's a medical facility, patients assume that she's an MD. But with financial constraints and because in certain regions doctors are becoming scarce, patients will be taken care of by a nurse practitioner more and more. So the question is, what is the difference? And does it matter who you see as long as you get good care?
Mm-hmm.
Well, NPs, that's an acronym for nurse practitioners, focus on communication and real care so that they offer a personal one-on-one visit with their clients, offering educational materials and reviewing with the patient how treatment and protocols should be. Walk-in clinics or treatment of minor ailments are a great use of NPs or those with no insurance. Often people just want direction on what the next step is in taking care of them. On the other hand, if a person suffers from chronic conditions with complex issues or a host of complex symptoms for which a diagnosis has not been made, consultation with a physician is the more prudent way to go, simply because a doctor has had many more hours in training and has seen and treated a greater variety of medical problems. However, keep in mind, even if it is a doctor that you seek out through medical care, that doesn't, you know, move out the room for a nurse practitioner that you can see besides, because she is going to be very nurturing and helpful and give you the personalized care that the doctor may not have time for.
Well, thank you. That's a really comprehensive answer. And I think it's along those same lines, but I'm not sure. You talk about medical homes, so I'd like you to explain what you mean by a medical home and how it can save money in healthcare spending.
This is a good question, Dr. Erica, because more and more this is going to be the way of the future for patient care and medicine. Unlike an image of a building that the name may conjure up, a medical home is a virtual home base rather than a physical place. It is a team model of care led by a personal physician who provides continuous and coordinated care throughout a patient's lifetime to maximize outcomes. It's made up of a partnership between the family and the patient's healthcare professional, connections to services and supports for both medical and non-medical needs for the patient and family, after hours and weekend access to care and primary healthcare professionals coordinating care with a team of other providers. Let's face it, Erica, patients with chronic conditions and complex diagnoses don't get coordinated care from the current fee-for-service system. I'm sure you know of people that have gone from one doctor to another, and no one was coordinating what was said and done between one specialist and another. The patient was caught in the middle with no one to advocate for her and make sense of the whole picture. That's what a medical home does for the individual.
So, when you say medical home, is it one person? Is it a website?
A medical home would be a team. So, for instance, in addition to like a physician and nurses, you would have your holistic medicine. You would have your physical therapist, your psychologist, your nutritionist, dietitian, occupational therapist. They would all be within the same, you know, group that is taking care of you as a patient and an individual in different means within their scope of treatment to take care of every bit of you, not just, you know, like medical issues, but they are concentrating on you in terms of your medical, spiritual, psychological, and physical.
Barbara, thank you so much, but we're running out of time. And I would like to tell the readers first that you have a blog post, a guest blog post on my blog at healthybabyboomersnetwork.com. On our next show, I will be speaking with Pamela Johnson, a nurse practitioner, who will talk about home health care, a slight difference from what we talked about today. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com. You can get a free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond. And I have a program coming up in a few weeks, My Complete Relationship System. You can learn about it at createhealingandlovenow.com/interview.hdm or schedule a coaching or counseling appointment at drericawellness.com.